the Bibles to Psalm 46. All week long, I've been, first of all, I was wrestling with should we have church or not. And frankly, I got a lot of pressure not to. As Tony and I prayed about it, we just came to the conclusion that there was no reason why not. There's no mandate against it. We have a big sanctuary, lots of room for people to spread out. But more than those things, we need it. It's just such a blessing to get together with you this morning and praise the Lord. We need a place. We need a sanctuary where we hear good news. Amen. Where we are able to refocus upon what is true. You're watching the news and you don't know what's true and what's not true. You see people post things on Facebook and in various places, and some people are panicking. Even at the USDA commodities distribution, we had a lady who panicked over the fact that we weren't maintaining social distancing. Those of you that participated in that, we did the best that we could. And of course, now she panicked out here in the foyer, and I think someone got within 4 or 5 feet of her. And but I'm not trying to be critical of that lady. She's worried. She's scared. A lot of people don't have what we have, right? They don't have what we have. Look with me at Psalm 46. This is what we have. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. And, it could say dissolve, because that's what he's getting at here. Though the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Now there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. And in the margin, this is so important, of the NASB, it says, let go, relax. Right? Let go, relax, know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And so as I stand before you this morning, I don't have anything new to tell you. I just want to remind you of some truths you already know. But that in the circumstances that we're in, I don't know about you. I pay way too much attention to the news. I find myself just constantly checking on what's new, what's happening. I'm a guy who wants to know. But what I find is that as I do that, I need to get back into the scriptures and remind myself of who's in charge. Right? And what this psalm tells us in the very first verse, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. Listen, a refuge is a place of safety. It's where one flees in the face of danger. Now, I don't know if we're in danger or not. Right? I mean, the The news media tells us we're in danger. But the truth of the matter is that we live in a broken world. The truth of the matter is that because that's true, we're always in danger. Except that we have something that the rest of the world doesn't. We have a God who is our refuge. We can always flee to Him. Now listen, the psalmist, he imagines the greatest calamity possible. Right? The world coming apart at the seams and proclaims that since God is our refuge, we have no reason to be fearful or anxious. And listen, to have fear and anxiety, as you've heard me say on more than one occasion, are just reveal the fact that something's wrong in here, that we're not trusting God. Right? The opposite of trusting God is fear and anxiety. And listen, God is trustworthy. Right? And I'll get to that more in a moment. But listen, brothers and sisters, keep your eyes on the Lord rather than on the chaos that's happening in our world. And it seems to be getting crazier by the moment. And I don't know how much longer we'll be able to meet. Maybe 15 days will be the end of it, but maybe not. You know, I saw this morning, and it just struck me that the Treasury Secretary said he expected this thing to last 10 to 12 weeks. Now, he's not the president, right? But I was listening. I was like, that doesn't sound like 15 days. Right? Sounds like it could go on longer. And if it goes on longer, then who knows what kind of edicts will be passed down. Right? But there's no reason for us to be fearful or anxious. I mean, they can tell us to stay home. They can tell us that we can't be out on the street. They can tell us lots of things, but that doesn't change who's in charge. Right? God is our refuge. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And here's something else. Don't seek comfort or relief in anything else other than the Lord. Listen, it's tempting for people. Anxious and fearful, and you know, binge on food, binge on alcohol. What Jim has said about listen, that could be a very real thing. As people get anxious, as they get scared, people who have been able to resist might give in. I was talking to Jack Neal yesterday. Some of you don't know Jack. Some of you do. Jack's a pastor 80 miles from here in Diamond Valley Baptist Church. And he said he was talking to his father about the time that we're going through. And his father was frustrated with Christians because Christians were acting just like the world. Right? From his perspective. In fact, Christians not meeting, in his mind, was behaving just like the world. He said, we're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to stand out. All right? And as we've already expressed this morning, we're not in rebellion against the government. There is no mandate that we not meet. Right? The churches should be full of God's people this morning. Right? Now, I'm not trying to be critical of those who have made... Every pastor, every church had to decide what they felt like the Lord was leading them to do. But I'm saying we should be different. We shouldn't respond in fear. Now, for some of them, it wasn't a matter of responding in fear. They were worried that they would make vulnerable people in their congregation sick, so they didn't meet. And I get that. I get that. We need to let God be our refuge, folks. Right? Don't wait for the government to bail you out. Right? Don't think you're going to get comfort in food or in alcohol or any number of things that we run to when we're stressed out. Let God be your refuge. And now he says here, God is our refuge in our strength. And just let me say to you, don't try to get through the days ahead by relying on your own strength. We already know as Christians that doesn't work. Now, every time we do that, what do we find failure. No, let God's empowering presence, which dwells within us, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, rely on His power in the days ahead. Rely on His power. Not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If things get crazier, the people around you are going to get more panicked, and they're going to get crazier. There's that. But no, we need to be different. They need to see a calm presence. They need to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, right? Love and peace and joy in the midst of the chaos. And we can do that because God is our strength. We don't have to come up with that strength on our own. The Spirit who resides within us will enable us to be that comforting presence, to show people love and goodness, right? And peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Now, I will confess to you all week long, I'm going to preach this passage. No, and then I'm going to preach this passage. No, then I'm going to preach this passage. I get up this morning, and the Lord says, you're going to preach this passage. All right? This is the passage that you're going to preach. Well, in verse 4, it says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. What comes to mind when you read that? Well, yeah, for me, it's Revelation and heaven and that in the river of life. That's just me. Okay. When this was originally written, they were thinking of Jerusalem. All right? But when I think of Jerusalem, I think of the heavenly Jerusalem, and that's where God dwells, and that's where the river of life is. He says, the holy dwelling of the Most High, right? And God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. And God will help her when morning comes. An interesting thing in the book of Revelation, when John goes to describe the city, who does he describe? The church, the bride of Christ. Listen, God is our refuge. God is our strength, and heaven is our home. Right? We're just passing through here. Right? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if things are going to get worse. I don't know if some of us will get this COVID-19 and go home to be with the Lord. I don't know. But still, there's no reason to be fearful because heaven is our home. I think about Jesus' words to His disciples on the eve before He went to the cross, and He said in John 14, verses 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Right? And that's a good word for us today. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. That's the hope we have. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be fearful. But now, so many people around us do. They don't have this hope, right? So keep that in mind, right? As you have people around you who are fearful, that don't have hope, that don't have this promise. Listen, we have a wonderful opportunity, right, to share Christ with people, but to do it in a kind of a different way, rather than directly talking to them about Christ. We begin with talking about the hope we have and then talk about Christ. Right? I'm not saying that's how you have to do it. I'm just saying that people are going to want to know why you're not fearful, why you're not worried, why you're not scared, why you would be crazy enough to get together on a Sunday morning and be near one another. You know. And then, you know, again, heaven is our home. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. What's your point, preacher? We don't have to be afraid. Heaven's our home. Right? This whole thing could come apart of the seams. Right? We don't have to be afraid. But we need to keep our eyes on Christ. Right? That's what Paul says here. He says, if you've been raised up with Christ, and listen, that's union in Christ language. That's the truth you already know. Listen, when Jesus died, you died. When He was buried, you were buried. When He was raised, you were raised. Why? Because you're in Christ, and His history is your history. His destiny is your destiny. Right? Amen? Right? And all through this psalm, we're reminded of another truth we all know. And it's this: God is sovereign. God is in charge. Right? God is sovereign. God is in charge. It says the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered, but He raised His voice and the earth melted. Right? It says, come behold the works of the Lord. He's wrought desolations in the earth. He says, cease striving. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Listen, what is happening right now is by God's design and for His glory. And that's always true. Now, some of you, you wrestle with that. Well, you mean that... these people dying is God's will? Well, they couldn't die if it wasn't His will. It's a part. Right? And if you die, it will be because it's God's will. Right? Listen, the good news that Tony got about his biopsy is because it's God's will that he stick around. And we praise the Lord for that. Right? But if we would have gotten different news, we would have praised the Lord for that. Because God is sovereign. He's in charge. Everything He does is for His glory. And listen, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because you need to filter everything you see and hear through this truth. If things get more strict, if they close down the churches, if they shut down the nation, if the economy crashes, right? It'll be because it's God's will. Right? Will there be human players involved? Absolutely. But they can't thwart the will of God. And we can take comfort in God's sovereignty. His sovereignty means all His plans will be fulfilled, but it also means all of His promises will be kept. Right? Every promise that He's made to us will be kept. See, the problem for some of us is we want heaven on earth, and the Lord never promised us that. Right? As you've heard me say, I know, I've been here long enough that you can almost know what's coming out of my mouth next. Suffering now, glory later. It's not your best life now, it's your best life later. And what if God is doing all of this to get people's attention? You know, I was thinking about it this morning, and I think Jody mentioned it. The airwaves, the internet is inundated with gospel preaching this morning. Right? My Facebook page just blew up with pastors that are friends of mine who are preaching the gospel on Facebook. Right? And on YouTube and on their websites. Who knows? Maybe this is God's plan to spark a revival. Maybe this is God's plan to spark spiritual awakening. But whatever His plan is, it will be for our good and His glory. God is sovereign. This psalm teaches us that. Although, listen, God's sovereignty is spread across almost every page of Scripture. You just can't miss it. He's in charge. And man is not. Man thinks he's in charge. But listen, just the chaos that's going on makes it pretty clear that man's not in charge. Right? And finally, this psalm tells us that God is with us. Right? God is with us. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Right? And then look at verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. We're not alone. You know, I don't know about you, but it's just Jody and me in the house. And the Lord. It's not just us. And the same thing's true of these elderly Christians who are stuck at home alone. The Lord's with them. We need to be reminding them of that. They need people with skin on to remind them of the truth. And you can add my name to your list. He's with us. What was one of the last things that Jesus says to His disciples? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What did He mean, the end of the age? The end of this age. I'm with you always. Right? And of course, some would say, well, now wait a minute. He went back to heaven. But who did He send? He sent His Spirit. And in that way, Jesus is present with us 24/7. Right? We're never alone. We're never by ourselves. We're never outnumbered. As I heard one time, I don't remember who said it, you and God make a majority. He's with us. And then, you know, as I was thinking about that, these verses came to mind from the book of Romans. We sang some of what I'm about to say when we sang In Christ Alone. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or COVID-19 or martial law or financial collapse? Now, obviously, none of those things are in this text. But Paul is just giving us a sample of things. He says, just as it's written, for your sake, we're being put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Right? Now, I haven't said anything to you this morning that you don't already know. And you don't need to hear new things. You need to be reminded of the truth that we already know. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Heaven is our home. God is sovereign. He's in charge and He's with us. Amen. Yeah. I'm so grateful we could meet together this morning. I'm so grateful we could meet together this morning. And I pray that we'll be able to continue to do that. You know, there are times I have bemoaned the fact that we're just a little church. But because we're just a little church, we can gather together and worship the Lord. But you know what? It's not a negative thing to be a little church. God gets more glory if we're yielded to Him. We're like Gideon's band. I hope you're encouraged this morning. Now, there's a couple of things that I just want to remind you of, because I don't know if folks are aware. Our church has a website. Okay, we've had a website for years. I don't know if any of you go there, but you should. In fact, I posted a sermon in case we couldn't meet together from the next passage in John. It's there. If you need some encouragement this week, you can go there and listen to that sermon. I will confess to you, that sermon's 10 years old. 10 years ago, I preached through the book of John, happened to cover that passage, and so, but it's still relevant. So if you want to keep up on things, I will be posting things on our church website. We have a church Facebook page. Now, I know some of you are not Facebookers. I get that. I wouldn't be a Facebooker if it wasn't the easiest way to communicate to people in this community. Okay? But we have a Facebook page, and we post things on there. If it gets to the place we can't meet, I want you to become familiar with an app called Zoom. You can put it on your phone. You can use it on your computer. It would enable us to meet virtually. All right? All of us together, and for at least 40 minutes at a time. Right? It's not a huge big thing. It's not hard to understand, but I just want you to be aware of that fact. Those are the things I can think of right now. Been thinking about things, and maybe you'll have some ideas, so don't be afraid to text me or email me, okay? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our refuge and strength. And because that's true, Father, we have nothing to fear. And that no matter what happens, you're in charge. And Father, that even if it's your plan that we not survive this, that heaven's our home. And Father, if you intend to keep us here, well, we know that you're with us, that you're always with us, that you are with us as we gather here in your name this morning, and that you're with us as we're in our homes, wherever we are. Father, you are present with us, and that's such a great comfort to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes.